Welcome to Jim Galliano's Building a Better Web Presence podcast. Build something better with less moving parts, less overhead, and less headaches.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Jim. Well, here we are in the last week of January. The holiday season is behind us. The first month of the new year is just about behind us. And I have to say, I sort of feel like we are in a new beginning of sorts, not just because we're in a new year, but I feel like we've entered a new time, or maybe we could even call it a new era. I look back to 2017, where a lot of the things that I started back then, including this podcast, have sort of come full circle. And as I look back at certain points over the last several years, there were definitely certain turning points in my life. I know many of you listening to this podcast, and I'm putting myself in the same category as you, have experienced loss in your family, loss of friends, other relatives since 2020. And it definitely does, especially when it's in your family, put things in a different perspective, such as the loss of a parent or even the loss of a sibling and loss of a spouse also, many times not at the age where that kind of thing is even expected. And we've seen a lot of it, some of that having to do with the whole COVID period that everyone went through and other things added on to that also. And so it sort of felt like to me that from 2020 all the way through to, well, for me, it was late 20 or early 2023, the time is just a blur. That first 3 years, 2020, 2021, 2022. And then as 2023 began, it was sort of a newish beginning for me insofar as that I was redeveloping my agency to include AI. And so it actually started in the winter of 2022. So I have 3 full years of experimenting with all different types of AI, working with it daily, sometimes up to 8 or 9 hours a day, just fully immerse myself in it. And I feel like I finally come out the other side now, realizing as certain systems have, I don't want to say plateaued, it feels like a plateau because I don't have to put as much time in. I recognize which systems are worth keeping an eye on as far as business and making money goes, and which systems are just interesting just based on what they're capable of doing. A lot of the animations and things of that nature, it's just really incredible. But I feel like I'm in a new season of business. And from talking to people, I know that I'm not alone. And so this is what I wanted to talk about today. I don't think I'm going to make this episode as long as it usually is, but I definitely want to hit on a few things. I should say make this episode as long as I usually do. I want to talk about a few things, and I even have a bit of excitement, again, in what's going on in my world and my business. And that's saying something after doing this for as many years as I've been doing it. I started in 1998. For those of you who are new and haven't listened to this podcast before, I was making this podcast. This was a weekly podcast since sometime in 2017. And then right around the time 2022, end of 2022, I took a break for a while. And now I'm back, not as a weekly podcast right now, but more as a communication tool to talk to those of you who have been listening to this podcast for years, friends, business associates, family members, and everything in between. And so what I want to do is I want to share some things that I've learned, things that have helped me, and that I really believe can help you as well. I'm going to talk about some business topics, but I'm doing it in the light of how people have reached out to me over the past several weeks, last month or two. And I want to talk a little bit about just an update on my own business life. And you know what? Sometimes I take things for granted that you know what I know and that you've been through basically that we've all been through the basic same things. Those of you who are online entrepreneurs, agency owners, freelancers, solopreneurs. But, you know, I realize that that's not exactly true. And sometimes just one little tidbit of information, one little nugget here and there can make a huge difference in what happens next in your particular business and your circumstance. So it's no, you know, whether you're a seasoned veteran or, you know, you're just getting started, somewhere in between, I think that what I'm going to talk about will resonate with most of you. So we have seen how business has changed over the last few years. Things have changed rapidly. And I'm not just focusing on new platforms or even trends. I'm talking about the entire pace of how information moves, how content is created, how clients make decisions, how people search for answers. It's not the same world as it was even 5 years ago. And so if you're someone who runs a service business, you know, I think about 10 years ago, there was this negative push against service-oriented businesses. And, you know, fast forwarding to today, I find that people who are providing services are doing much, much better, financially speaking, than those who are using other types of business models like education only. I know a lot of freelancers got involved in things like membership sites and courses and all of that. And I've created plenty of courses myself. Matter of fact, one of the platforms that I was hosting my courses on just went out of business. They were sold, and that's the end of that. So that forced me into a situation, and it was impossible to save a lot of that information. It was just a mess. Just one of those things that have changed again over the last few years. There's a lot of platforms that I invested in, and I'm sure it's the same with a lot of you, who are no longer around. They didn't manage their money properly. They didn't grow. They couldn't compete. But getting back to the service businesses, you know, for a lot of times I looked at running an agency as though it were not an inferior type of business model, but I recognized something. If you're making courses, then, and especially courses around topics like marketing and technology, these aren't evergreen topics. They're always changing. And so it can take some people several months, some people even a year if they're just getting started in making a course. And then, you know, one little tweak and change in technology can make 50% of that course sort of not necessarily obsolete, but behind the times. And so when you multiply that times two or three courses, then what happens? Then you find yourself in a situation where you have to invest all this time again. So instead of it being like a hands-off type of a business model, there's more labor involved than meets the eye up front. Same thing goes for membership sites. You're always in a position where you have to keep your members happy, where you have to create new content, whatever type of membership that you have. The service business, though, on the other hand, is usually rougher in the beginning when you bring a new client on board. So if you're selling marketing services, or depends what type of service you're selling. For people that just sell like website maintenance programs, maybe they do backups, they do hosting, light upgrades. Those types of businesses are a lot easier to manage because they're not the type of businesses where, let's say with a marketing business, you have to put points on the board every month. And just like a professional athlete, if you're not putting points on the board, then your value diminishes quickly. Just recently, I was looking at one of the, not to get into the depths of the sport, but a football/soccer team that I follow in Europe had a player that was considered one of the best in the world, a true game-changing type of individual, was injured, I guess it's almost 2 years ago now, got injured, came back, got injured again, and now he's starting, but it appears to be half of the player that he was 2 to 3 years ago. And so, great guy, has a great relationship with his coach, but there comes a time where, you know, the team will cut their losses because he's not able to produce the type of results that he formerly did. I'm not saying that's going to happen with him, but I see it happen. And so business is a lot like that when you're selling marketing services, advertising services, the types of services people pay more for because they directly affect the bottom line. Another thing I want to throw in here, just as long as I'm on this topic, I'm kind of free-flowing now, but let me just throw this in here because I know there's somebody who needs to hear it. You know, I know a lot of people get down on themselves because they have built an online business, they've taken the entrepreneurial route, and it never quite worked out for them, or they have a business that they've been struggling to keep for years on end, let me just share something with you about the money side of this and similar types of businesses. A lot of you, and this sounds like it should just be common sense, but it's not, have been in a place where for years you're trying to sell services, let's say, to people who can't afford your services, who can't pay you what you're worth. It's nothing personal. You're not a bad salesperson. But when you're dealing with a business that has a certain allotment for the types of services that you do, and that number is lower than you're worth, but you're still doing business with these people, I understand why you do that. That's because a little bit of something is better than a whole lot of nothing, and the bills just keep coming every month. And so maybe you have a spouse or somebody who also has an income that you're bringing into your house, which has enabled you to continue doing this. But you find yourself frustrated. And I notice a lot of those individuals have businesses located in areas where the price points that they could or maybe should be demanding just are not feasible in that area with the types of businesses that they're working with. Years ago, there was a big push on raising your prices. If you're providing a service, you're not making enough money, you need to raise your prices. And people taught a lot on that, about price and how to get what you're worth. And I noticed that for the most part, the people that taught that type of information were people that were located in big cities, New York, Chicago, LA, places like that, where the cost of living was astronomically high. And the same product, let's talk about website development just briefly, that you might be able to get from a web developer living in, let's keep this in the US to keep basically apples to apples, although every state is different. But if we talk about the median web price, it might have been, I don't know, let's say $1,000. Well, that same site that went for $1,000, I know there were people that were selling WordPress websites for $400, $300, whatever. They were just basically setting it up, adding some content, using a template. But today, when you look at that and you compare what it costs to live like in a Chicago, in New York, in LA, or even in Miami, big city, they're automatically charging a lot more than that. You know, the $1,000 site, you know, it may not even be worth doing for less than $10,000 if you're living in Los Angeles. And that's just, they have to charge that based on what they have to pay their employees, what the agency has to, what the agency needs income-wise just to support their overhead. And that's just the norm. So any business owner that's going to survive in a place like Los Angeles or Chicago or New York or Miami, they're going to have to charge a lot more. And so people hear that this agency is making $500,000, this agency is making $1 million, and this agency is making only $200,000. And the people listening to this are thinking, well, I'm only making $30,000 a year. What am I doing wrong? And so you try to get an education from somebody who's making, you know, a lot more than you're making. 10 times, right? They're making $300,000, you're making $30,000. And if you would reverse the locations, that person would struggle unless they were able to secure clientele in a big city. So for example, let's take the UK for a good example of this. It costs a whole lot more to live in a city like London than it does in many other places. And so everything there is going to reflect that, from the price of your lunch and right on up to major things. So I think that if you're in a situation where you're not making enough, sooner or later you have to ask yourself the question, am I a terrible salesperson? Do I have a terrible product? Or are you banging your head against a wall because you are focusing on people who just don't have enough to pay what you're worth? It's a serious question worth answering. And so, well, what do you do about that? Well, the nice thing about it is that people, including your friends, people in your network, are more mobile and they're located in a variety of places, not even in the country, but in the world, you can say. And they can connect you with people you would otherwise never be connected with. And so if you want better clients, then you have to go to the places where the businesses as a whole are bigger, more successful, have more employees. In other words, instead of getting an individual plumber or electrician or a service provider, you have to try and connect with the bigger ones where they have maybe 20 electricians or 20 plumbers. You understand what I'm talking about, where they don't just have one truck on the road. They have, you know, a dozen or more. And those are the types of companies that are used to paying thousands of dollars a month as opposed to $100 a month. I hope that makes sense. I've talked to people locally who I've become friends with, and I've talked to them about some of the services that I offer that are outside their price range. And I know that if they did have the money to afford that kind of service, they would take a hit. It would be a loss at the beginning, but they'd make up for it on the back end. However, many of those people aren't in a place where they're willing to spend $5,000 a month on marketing services for 2 to 3 years. And it's just like you and I. For example, somebody might say, I'm going to put all of us in this situation. You can have a private chef come to your home and cook one meal a day for one person. How much would that cost? Or excuse me, not one meal a day, 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. How much would that cost? The food, the chef, all of that, so that you're eating healthy from now on. $15,000. Where do I get that number from? Well, I was asking around. It just so happened that I've known people that were involved in assisted living centers, people that ran nursing homes, and the cost for those services is basically around $15,000 a month. Most people can't afford that. That's why they have insurance to cover those things. But a lot of these services are just so high priced. And do people want them? Would you want somebody to come to your, okay, so maybe $15,000 for 3 meals a day. They're charging that at a, let's say, a nursing home. Matter of fact, I know that's the cost of one in particular because my friend's wife works there as a nurse. And so that's what the people are paying. So that covers the doctors on staff. So let's take some of that off per month. Let's say $10,000 a month to have the chef make 3 good meals for you a day. I mean, who wouldn't want somebody to do that? But most people can't afford to pay a chef that much. I'm sure there's chefs that would charge more than that, right? The more well-known they are, the more clientele they have, you know, the less time they have. Maybe they train other chefs under them to go and provide the same thing. But you understand what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to be able to pay $10,000, $15,000 a month to have a chef come and make, you know, my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You probably can't either. And so as a result of that, you can send the best salespeople to my house or your house, and the answer is still going to be the same. Now, the person on the other end, are they going to think, I just can't understand why they're not pulling the trigger. I mean, we're offering the food, we have the quality, we have all of that, and they're still not buying. You understand what I'm saying? I know that's kind of a facetious type of example that I'm giving. I'm kind of doing that for a reason, because sometimes we don't see the trees for the forest, or we don't see the forest for the trees. And we're so caught up in what we're doing, we're in our own little world, that we don't realize that we're targeting people that really can't afford to pay us what we're worth. So it's just something to keep in mind. So you may have to get outside of your area and start connecting with people who live in areas where high ticket is the norm. Something that would be considered high ticket in your area is considered to be average or norm in those areas. It's a quick way to make a big difference if you can connect with one of those people. And I've connected with them over the years, and so I'm telling you from personal experience. Now, you do have to produce results, especially if you're selling marketing, SEO, any type of service that's designed to help a business make more money. So people buy value. They're willing to pay per value as long as they're receiving that value in a tangible way. And so back to the shift, saying that the world isn't the same as it was even 5 years ago. I'm sure that most of you have felt that shift. And it goes beyond politics and what you see in the news. it comes back to everyday experience, comes back to how people are, have changed. A lot has to do with financial pressure, social pressures, industries changing, technology disrupting things. So in my agency, over the years, I've done and do just about everything, content, SEO, marketing systems, and I've always loved the work. But there was that stretch there where the old way of doing things started to feel a little bit heavier. Now, some people feel this, I don't know, a few years into their experience. I felt it at different times. Over the past 28, 29 years, however long it's been, 28, I guess now. Over that past stretch of time, I felt that every 5 years or so, right around there, I've had to not necessarily reinvent what I was doing, although I've used that word many times to describe it, but I've had to make some changes in order to maintain the value of what it was that I was offering. And when you go through those times of change, no one enjoys change, really, when you get right down to it. It's great when everything is predictable, the same, as long as that predictable and the same is positive. When something else changes and threatens that, then, I mean, you feel it. You can't help but feel it. But I felt that in that period of time between, let's say, 2000 to 2002, 2003, everything was seemingly becoming more complicated. Everybody wanted more content. There was more competition. There was more noise. It seemed like there were more moving pieces inserting themselves into the process. And I started asking myself again, how long is this sustainable for me personally? How do I keep doing excellent work without turning everything into a grind again? How do I simplify without going backwards? And that question, or those questions, led me into what I can see now in hindsight was a bit of a reset season. I think a lot of you are in that place right now. It's a place of reset. And for me, hindsight being what it is, as clear as it is, it happened when I began using AI seriously. And let me just be clear about this. I'm not talking about that I see AI as a gimmick. I don't see it as a replacement for real expertise, not at all. But I do see it as one of the most important business tools to come along in decades. Because when it's used correctly, it removes friction. AI helped me step back and rebuild all of my agency systems. It helped me do things that used to take hours in minutes. Simple things, even, that became complicated. A lot of times they became complicated simply because you only have so much bandwidth during the day. So if you're doing a certain type of work and the phone rings and somebody has a problem and then you have to get back to your work after you solve that problem, or sometimes you don't even get back to your work that day, it has to happen another day. You know what I'm talking about. When you're in a place like that, even drafting a simple outline of something becomes difficult. So it helped me create content faster while keeping the quality high. And one of the reasons why I was able to do that was because I learned how to build custom GPTs. I can pour in all my blog posts, all my content that I've made over the years. It helped me to take a podcast and turn it into text, audio to text. And then if I wanted to create articles, I could do that, or notes, or just even in a communication with a client, all that became so much easier. My workflows became more organized. My messaging sort of tightened up in my daily communications. And what happened was interesting because I began to make a shift from feeling like I had to work harder to keep up to a different place where I started to feel lighter. Now, this happened not instantly, but over the course of 24 months, let's say from all of 2023 and all of 2024. By the time it hit 2025, did I say 2000? Yeah. By the time I hit 2025, I was comfortable with the place of AI in my agency business and in my entrepreneurial pursuits in general. And I say that because there was a lot of distractions. And so one of the things I decided to do to avoid distractions, I'm only going to interact with the big players when it comes to AI tools. So I'm going to stick with OpenAI. I'm going to stick with Google Gemini. I'm going to stick with Claude AI. And there's others, but I'm going to mainly focus on those three. They have the money behind them. ChatGPT almost didn't. But as of this recording, they have the money behind them. They have everything they need behind them. And so other people started building these other AI services based on those. I bought a few of those, but I learned quickly that's not where the focus needs to be. I need to focus on tools and the stack that's going to be here in 3 years. You know, when you're 20 years old and you're in any type of technical type of work, the stack changes a lot and you experiment with a lot of tools. But there comes a point in time where you want to use tools that are mature, tools that are reliable. Just the other day, I went online and I went to open a tool that I hadn't used in a year. And it was just a background removal tool. I thought, I haven't used this in a while. Let me see what's going on with it. And it went out of business. And the reason why I decided to use it, I have Canva, which automatically removes background tools. You can do a whole lot with Canva. Matter of fact, for those of you who are designers, I know a lot of you switched over to Canva already years ago and said goodbye to the fees that came with Adobe products. Nothing against Adobe, but Canva really did take a bite out of the market. So anyway, I decided these are the tools that I'm using. These are the tools that I'm comfortable with. And so I'm going to stick with these. Even if I have to pay a little bit more, I'm going to stick with them. Now, there was a time when I couldn't afford to pay a little bit more to have the best tool out there. But sometimes it's not that you need the best of everything. You only need a handful of tools. And if you can kind of, I don't want to say whittle your business down to a handful of tools, but if you can redesign it so that your main focus only requires a minimal amount of tools, then you're going to have a lower monthly overhead, which means when you hit a bump in the road, maybe financially speaking, the market takes a turn, you don't have that pressure on you every month of this larger overhead. So I became comfortable with the AI tools that I had discovered. And, it just helped me become more focused and clear. And AI didn't replace the work that I did. Instead, it supported it. And that was the difference. Sometimes AI would put out some information and I would question it and it would turn around and say, yeah, you're right. Let me add that to, even though it was in the knowledge base, which led me to create custom GPTs for just about everything you can think of. For every part of the process, I have a custom GPT for marketing. I have a custom GPT for creating content on specific platforms. And these are tools that both myself and the people that work for me use just to produce things better, faster, and everybody wins. All across the board, everyone wins. So the AI provided with me the sort of leverage that I didn't have before AI, that no one had. People now enjoy a type of leverage that they never had before. And this allowed me to spend more time on strategy. So strategy is simply not just responding to what's in front of you, but seeing two or three moves down the line and being prepared for certain things before those things happen, before those things occur. And it allowed me to spend less time on repetitive production. And that's a big deal. Here's a quick example. I used to create a spreadsheet of blog posts and the links to those blog posts and put them, Excel spreadsheet. You can do it with Google Sheets online. And then I learned that I could just open up Gemini in the browser. Up on the top. It's a Gemini. You can open Gemini in Chrome. And Gemini can read the page. It can read code. It can read what's on the front end of it. And it has everything from fast response to really in-depth. And so I've tested the in-depth and I've tested the fast all on the same type of information. And I noticed that the fast response, which is free, is good 8 out of 9 times for what I'm using it for. And I've learned there's certain things that it's not good for. And that just comes from repetition. That's why I use three. I use Claude, I use Gemini, I use OpenAI. But the custom GPTs, that's when I need specific results for specific tasks that are very important to the business. But getting back to this with Google Gemini, I would tell it to create a spreadsheet for me with all of the blog post titles in the first column and the full URL. I would have to literally write that out to get it to respond properly. The full URL links in column number two. And I would take that information. It took me probably like asking it to do that two or three times in different ways in order for it to work properly. So, you know, in the back end of WordPress, the title of an article actually has a link behind it. So I had to tell it not to copy that link and put it over in a spreadsheet, because when it got over to the spreadsheet, the link was no longer hot. And it had trouble doing that, copying it just like that. So I told it to use one column with just the title and the next column with the full URL to that article written out. The first column does not have a link. It's strictly the title. The second column is a live link, complete URL. And so that saved quite a bit of time. You know, just when you multiply that times, I don't know how many blog content sites that we have, then you can do something, you can do three or four websites in a matter of, you know, 10, 15 minutes, where before a VA would be doing that manually. Copy and paste, copy and paste. And so everything just became a little bit easier. Everything became, it was like a new world had opened up. So repetitive production, that's a big deal when you can get away from that, because the workload can expand endlessly if you let it. So that reset that I was experiencing, it wasn't just about the fact that we had new tools and new AI tools to work with. It was about getting back to that place where you're designing the business the way it feels sustainable for you, the individual, again. So once that started happening, the business started feeling lighter. The system started working better. And that's when I noticed something. When that pressure came off of my shoulders from carrying it 100%, I realized that I missed creating. I missed talking about the ideas, the dreaming of different things that I might build down the line. Not that these things have to make a lot of money, although I'm fine with that, but just the fact that I could be creative again. And sometimes when you have that in you, when you're a creative at heart, and that gets taken away from you, and it gets taken away in different forms. You can be doing creative work, but it doesn't feel like you're being creative for yourself, you're being creative for someone else. And that's fine, that pays the bills, and that can be enjoyable when you're working for the right people. But when was the last time you did something for you? Built something that was an extension of something that you were dreaming about or that you wanted to test out? Sooner or later, you know, you realize that, and I realized it over the last few years, that, you know, we're not here forever. You know, if you want to do something maybe even life-changing, you got to pull the trigger while you can still pull the trigger. There was a lot of like nonprofit activities that I wanted to get involved in, but the need to make the money was always front and center with me. And so I didn't have the time in the past to dedicate to those things. And whenever I was doing those things, I'm thinking I'm doing these things because I enjoy them, but I could be using this time to make more money. And so hopefully, sooner or later, those of you who listen to this get to the place where you are making enough money. And what do I mean by enough? Some people say there's never enough, but I mean you're paying your bills without strain and you have money left over at the end of every month that you can put away. And you have enough money put away eventually where if you were without work for several months, it wouldn't hurt your standard of living, if that makes sense. You have no credit card debt. Those are the things that make life a little bit nicer, a little bit easier. But I missed, again, the creative part. I missed even sharing what I'm learning. And then I realized I wasn't the only one, because people started reaching out. That meant a lot. People that said, I miss your podcast, and we used to write blog posts more, and And so, yes, I decided to start recording again, maybe not every week, and not because I think the world needs more content, because really at the end of the day, I think what everybody really needs at this point in time is a little more clarity. And not just the fact that what I say is going to give you absolute clarity, but at least it can put you on a path to getting that for yourself. And podcasts are still one of the best ways to do that. I think video is too, but then there's the editing part, you know. And the podcast lets you slow down a little bit. It's not a tweet. It's not a headline. It's more like a conversation. And for people who build businesses, especially in this season where everything is changing, I think this kind of conversation can be helpful to a lot of people. So this episode is just my way of reaching out to those of you listening and just letting you know things are pretty good. I'm building again, and I hope you can be building again also. But I'm doing it differently now. And because of the fact I can do it differently, that's what's enabling me to do it again. And so don't be afraid to do it differently. Another shift I wanted to mention is this. And this goes kind of with what I was just saying, but the older I'm getting, you know, I'm caring more about the meaningful work. And it doesn't mean that client work isn't meaningful. It absolutely is, because what you do affects people in a positive way. And I'm fortunate that my clients regularly will reach out to me, or at least a handful of them do, but I know a lot of them from my interaction with them. They really appreciate the work. And they enjoy working with me. I enjoy working with them. But I think there's a certain stage where you start asking yourself some questions like, what do I really want to create? What projects would really feel fulfilling right now? And what do I want my voice to contribute to the world around me at this point in time? So for me, I've started pursuing some side projects that feel more personal. Not because I'm walking away from my business, but because I'm expanding beyond it. And AI is helping me do that. And so here's what I've learned, that side projects don't have to be chaotic. Side projects don't have to compete with your main business. In fact, they can actually have a restorative effect on you. They can bring back creativity, and they can remind you why you started building things in the first place. And so here I am working on some new audio content today to share with you, some new ideas, talking a little bit about new frameworks, things that can live alongside of agency work. And honestly, I have to say it's refreshing for me. It feels like a new season. It's the kind of season of rebuilding with purpose instead of just pressure. And so I want to leave you with a thought. If you're in a reset season, if you feel like the old way of doing business is heavier than it used to be, if you're trying to figure out what comes next, here's what I encourage you to do. You don't have to rush, and you don't have to panic. Don't assume that you need to throw everything away. In fact, that's probably ridiculous. Sometimes the next step isn't about complete reinvention. Instead, it's more about refinement. Refinement, simplification, and a new structure that's a better fit for you at this time. A better tool set, maybe, a more aligned direction. And the truth is, this is one of the most hopeful times in history for an independent entrepreneurial creator and a small business owner, especially those who spend a lot of time online, because we finally have all the tools we need to give us leverage. I know they're going to keep on getting better. I know there'll be new things, but you know, this is more than where we are today in 2026 is more than just a hop, skip, and a jump from where we were back before 2020. We can build with fewer people. We can create with more speed. And we can serve with the type of clarity that we wouldn't have been able to do it with in the past, because the past would require a lot of manual work and thinking. And again, not that you let the AI do the thinking for you, but it really does help you during those times where you've almost exceeded your bandwidth for that day. You can't go any further. I think some of you know what it's like to realize that it's so late at night that you really need to go to sleep because there's a tomorrow that you have to get up for, but yet your mind is still in business mode. You want to get big, just do one more thing or a few more things before you call it a day, but yet your mind is so tired that when you sit back down in front of that computer, in front of that monitor, in front of that device, you're just not firing on the enough cylinders to get the job done. I've been there more times than I can count. However, we have the opportunity now where we can design businesses that actually support us instead of take more than they're giving, right? Instead of consuming us. And this is what this season that we're in right now feels like to me. And honestly, I'm grateful for it. So hopefully I've opened up your eyes to a few new things, a few new possibilities in today's episode. So hey, for those of you who stuck it out, whatever it is now, 40 plus minutes, thanks for spending the time with me. I hope you enjoyed it. All right, that'll do it for today. This is Jim. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you later.